All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday, and we are finishing up part three of our very special edition with Sten being in the hot seat talking a little bit about his journey in dentistry and group practice. He has enjoyed this oh so much. See if you all are on video. Being in the hot seat is not his favorite place to be, but it was a request that we had, and he has obliged.
It was a demand
It was a demand that we had. So,
that
if you missed the first two parts of this, we talked a little bit about how Sten started his career as a solo practitioner, moving into group practice and realizing, not necessarily having all of the business expertise that you need coming out of dental school, and then adding an associate into the mix. So this week we're going to talk about the mentorship part of this conversation and what does that look like? We spoke last week about how whether you're ready for it or not, when you walk in an office, your patients, your team, your other doctors, they are seeing you as a leader in that practice. So you got to fake it until you make it, right? That's what they're looking to you for. So mentorship is a hot take topic because so many people say they're looking for mentorship. Even when I'm recruiting and interviewing people for our practices, they say they want mentorship. And one of the first questions I ask is, what does mentorship mean to you? And that's something that people actually have a very hard time answering, and we're trying to break it down in terms of what does that actually look like on a day-to-day basis. So, Sten, could you just tell us a little bit of, hey, what did mentorship mean to you when you were early on in your career, and what does mentorship mean to you now that you are mentoring some of our associate doctors?
Mentorship is a very hazy topic. It's a very hazy definition, I think for a lot of people. And what I thought about, which I think is what most people think about mentorship, is that you get this one generally more experienced person that's been there, done that. You guys have a wonderful relationship. You ask them to be their mentor. They throw up their arms. You guys have coffee once a week, and you just follow every word of their advice for the rest of your career. And that's great in the movies and all this different thing, but I never found that to be true. And I've actually, everyone I've talked to has said the same thing, that's not what mentorship is. I have yet to find one person where I want their life. Simple as that. So I kind of learned early on that I really only listen to people that I want what they have. If someone tells me, if they're naysayer about something, hey, something will or not work, whether it's in dentistry or life or their marriage or their raising kids or real estate or whatever it is, if they haven't done something that I want, I tune them out. And I learned that very early on, because I think a lot of people, try to act like they're experts, or try to act like just because they're more experienced, or they've kind of been through 20 to 30 years more of a career than you, that you should listen to every single word they say, because they're the guru, they're the mentor, right? So not to say you have to tell them they're wrong, but I think you just need to really pick and choose who and what you listen to. So that's where I thought mentorship was, and I kind of was looking very hard for that over the years, and I got really frustrated that I didn't find that mentor. What I realized as I was kind of going through a lot of CE courses, I had a lot of experience with, one doctor that I was kind of working with right out of school, and actually my old partner, and then a few other doctors, that I realized that I was getting bits and pieces of mentorship from these people over the years. And I already had mentors, kind of a tribe of mentors, right? To use kind of a Tim Ferriss term. And that's was a bit, a little bit of a aha moment for me. It's like, okay, well, why am I looking for one person when I can have 10,
Right.
and it doesn't need to be a formal, I need to ask you to be my mentor, and we all, we give a hug, and then all of a sudden we text every day or whatever. So that's not what it is. At least that was never it for me. But I had mentors with clinical dentistry. I had mentors with surgical. I had mentors with some of the business aspects. I had mentors with my real estate investment. I have real estate mentors with some relationship stuff. And even my parents, I think, you get to a point as you grow up, that you realize that one, your parents probably knew a lot more than you thought, as you get older, right?
About
And
that,
then
yes.
you realize that they did, but there's a lot of things I can do better, and a lot of things I want to improve on. And so it's like, I'm not even going to follow my dad or my grandpa's path or whatever it is. And so it's, you kind of realize that, I'm just, you're blazing your own trail. And if you really want to have a mentor that's the end all, the be all, the one person, you better be pretty damn sure that that is what you want out of your life 100%. Because if you're gonna follow that person, so that's kind of where I started out and kind of where I went. I think where I kind of have become over the last 5 to 10 years now is realizing why people would mentor someone else. And there is a little bit of this giving back aspect of it too, and liking someone, you get a relationship or you know you have a connection with someone, and I think that that absolutely can happen. You have a you know a doc that you want to you know bounce cases off. You have a you know a clinical instructor that you took a course from, then they're gonna kind of help you and you know walk you through kind of your first year of doing some other new procedure or some new aspect of dentistry, whatever it is. And that definitely does happen, but I think why people become mentors or why people mentor other people is not for that person's benefit, it's for their own benefit. And whether that's them making them feel good because they want to do this is probably the smaller portion of those people. But I think where the major portion of those people is they get paid. And I'm a big time strong believer that you should pay for your mentorship. And this, whether you call it a coach, whether you call it a consultant, whether you call it a mentor, whatever you want to call it, I think you should pay for it. And whether you pay for that with a monthly retainer, whether you pay for that with a CE course, whether you pay for that in doing dentistry for someone that is a founder in our situation, like, you know, I think, you know, our doctors, they pay for my mentorship. You know, they're paying for my mentorship by being working and you know, and growing their practice, and then they're not paying me directly as far as a check, but they're paying me in a sense that you know they're growing their practice within our ecosystem. It's yes, it's benefiting them immensely, but it's also benefiting us, right? And so that's how they pay for it. I pay for 3 or 4 different mentors on a monthly basis, and I meet with them weekly, some monthly, some quarterly, some, and I pay some a lot, I pay some a little, and I. When you add it all up, it's a ton of money, but I get every single penny out of it. And I really, really strongly believe that that's kind of where we all need to be, is we need to kind of bite the bullet and say, I need to pay for this mentorship. Because otherwise, what you're left with is only finding mentors that are willing to do it for free. And that portion of the population is very, very small. And that portion of the population also is not probably that portion of the population that you want to be mentored with, or that you want an aspect of their life to follow. And so that's kind of where I've landed with this. You know, it's constantly evolving, but that's, you know, everyone I've talked to as I've kind of come with this, and the people that I truly see have reached heights that I really aspire to achieve, they say the exactly same thing. They say you have to pay for mentorship, and they all have for you know 10, 20 years of their life and their career, and they've all kind of come through that same evolution that I have, where once they realize that they need to pay for mentorship, whether it's through their sweat or their checkbook, it's kind of changed the game a little bit, because they get to pick and choose who they want to be their mentors. And from a mentor standpoint, when that person is paying you, whether through working for you or for paying you directly, whatever it is, you're showing up. You're showing up, and
You're invested in it.
you're putting your best foot forward. And you are, you know, when that person's on a call, when I'm going in the office, you know, whatever it is, when I have a client and they're writing a check, I am showing up, and I'm trying to give my best and deliver, and I want to provide the most value and try to get that person to the next level the fastest that I can.
Well, and we have this conversation with doctors constantly, even those who are coming out of, some kind of clinic perspective or even private practice. One of our associate partner doctors now came out of private practice where same thing, she thought that she was going to be receiving mentorship. That's how it was advertised to her, and it wasn't, right? She wasn't working alongside an owner doctor. She was only getting the treatment that was the leftovers that he didn't want to take on. And on the one hand, there's a balance, right? We talked to our doctors about the fact that this is not dental school, right? And yes, I mean, we get in there, Sten will be in there doing a surgery case with a partner doctor, we do that constantly, but it's not just about that, right? Just watching them do a couple of class two composites because you're fresh out of dental school, you can't do that all day, every day. And is that where the greatest value is? So, what are some of the things that we focus on in our practices to help mentor our doctors comprehensively?
You know, I can't be there every single appointment, like Jennifer said, n nor when I was in that younger doctor role, I only wanted to see that senior doctor when I had a request or I had a question, right? And I recognize that, and I recognize that in my own doctors and me, and I don't want to be sitting there and being a helicopter boss, and the one that doesn't do us any good. Two, I hated it when that happened, and so, I'm really trying hard to kind of take a step back. It's a big reason why I'm not in the practices as often as I probably want to be, because I want to have them be the captain of their ship. I want them to kind of, they need to figure out these things on their own time. I want to be there for their as their safety net, and they have the bat phone, and they can call me whenever, and they do, and I love it when they do. But, having structure in your mentorship is really important. I mean, we have weekly meetings, we have monthly one-on-ones with our doctors. We have, multiple kind of, clinical workshops, things like that we do with our doctors. They're very structured, they're scheduled. Everyone has to, kind of confirm that they're coming, and they bring questions and cases and different things like that. There's an agenda for a lot of our meetings, things like that. That's very structured. And then there's the kind of more free form, the bat phone times, right? And so I think that's I think that kind of mix, what we've realized is really important. And I think the flip side of that is I'm trying to give them more than they expect, right? And so, meaning, I think a lot of people expect, okay, I'm going to go through, go work for with a group, or go work for a practice. I'm going to work my way up and do, hey, maybe an anterior case. Maybe I'll do, a couple surgery cases. I'll do a grafting. I'll do, a couple of really complicated aesthetic cases, things like that. And I'll kind of work with the doctor. I'm getting my doctors in there doing big cases quick, and cases that kind of scare the hell out of them to some degree. And I know that sounds a little irresponsible, but I'm doing them with them. So I'm doing it through them, and so I mean, we are walking every little detail through every single case, from when this patient comes in, how do you handle this? How do you tell the patient, hey, I want to do a second consult, so they have time to kind of come to me, and then they can present what we've talked about back at that second consult, things like that. How do we work it up with the lab? What is the exact lab verbiage that we put in some of these cases? What are all these designs? I mean, every little detail that I'm doing with these cases. So I really think it's important to kind of push people a little bit beyond their comfort zone, because I think it's important for people to realize that they can do more than they think. And if they can realize that they can do more than anyone else would, quote unquote, let them do, or what they thought they were capable of, that's where a mentor really makes the money, makes their value, right? And I think that's important. So that's kind of where I've landed right now, as far as how my strategy and just my belief and kind of what a mentor should do. And I'm hoping to always innovate and make it better. But right now, I really think those kind of three parts, meaning the structure, the kind of the recurrence, the predictability, definitely having that kind of, off, just bat phone, just it can call you anytime, and then definitely someone that pushes you kind of beyond your what you think is possible.
Well, we've also had to put it in perspective for them as far as what a mentor role really is, right? The bat phone, we also, me probably more than Sten, has been abused and abused, right? The things that are called for, we have one of our pathwayisms in our practice is volcano. If it's an emergency, hair on fire, we need an answer right now, we need a volcano. We're throwing it out on our Slack channel. I don't care what you're doing. Get off the meeting, get off the call. That means it's patient in chair. We need to answer this right now. We have had more than one situation that I call doctor who cries volcano because their volcano issues are not true volcano issues, right? And also knowing how to handle some of those situations, right? You're going to have a case that doesn't go according to plan. You're going to have something come up. You're going to have a file break. Even some of these surgery cases, we're doing CTs, they're guided implant surgeries, they're planned out to the nth degree, and you get in there and the bone is not as dense as you were anticipated that it was going to be, right? So 90% of it is also just how do you handle that and not we started to see that it was coming, that it was just handholding, right? Like, okay, well, mentorship means that you're going to fix every situation for me, right? Or you're going to answer every hard, in air quotes, hard patient question or hard patient conversation. That's not what mentorship is. Right?
No, it's not. But I also think that if they're abusing the bat phone, if they're abusing the
Yes.
volcano,
Yes.
that's a shortcoming in my mentorship.
Sure.
And so that's I have to look in the mirror and say, okay, where did I go wrong? What did I not communicate to this person to make them think that they need me in this situation, right? What did I not teach them the last umpteen times we had a conversation that prevented them from solving this issue, right? This is an issue that they should solve 100 times out of 100 by themselves. Why do they feel the need to call me? Is this a deep-seated character thing with them, or is this something in is a shortcoming in my mentorship? And so I think I love holding up the mirror because it makes me better in those situations. And I think Jennifer, you've realized that a lot when people have abused that,
Oh,
the
yes.
sounding board. But I think where it's been fixed is now kind of righting the ship as, okay, this isn't appropriate. You don't need me for this, right? This is, you can go do this off on your own. Like, I want to be there as a sounding board. I want to be there as someone to kind of to help you through these things. But 9 o'clock at night on a Wednesday is not that time.
Well,
And
and also, sorry, go ahead.
go ahead.
I would say also realizing that clinical skills, yes, can always be sharpened. You can continue to learn your clinical skills. A big realization for most doctors coming out of dental school is 90% of the difficulty is going to be with people, right? Whether that's patients who are now paying for your treatment or team members that you have to communicate with. And we're hopeful in our practices that the mentorship is beyond just the clinical. We have an entire emotional intelligence module that's built out in our training for all of our team members to try to help them be better communicators for conflict resolution, just to improve them as people both in and outside of the office. That's where the crux of the true problems come from. And it's just knowing how to manage those situations and having your responses ready.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, if you would like to learn more about how we've structured our mentorship, how we have our doctor development program built out, how you can incorporate that into your practices, please feel free to reach out to us. We're on all of the social media platforms. You can also email us directly, connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com, or our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com as well. And I would like to thank Sten for being in the hot seat for the last couple of weeks here and sharing some of the pitfalls and pain points that he's had over the years. It's not easy to be vulnerable. And so we appreciate you being willing to share with us.
Yeah, of course. It was fun.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.